Hey everybody, welcome to episode 24 of the Run, Selfie, Repeat podcast, where we talk about life with a side of running, although today's episode is kind of like you ordered two entrees instead of an entree of life with a side of running. So I hope you're hungry because I'm your host, Kelly Roberts, and I'm rolling up my sleeves as we speak because we are about to get into it. Today I want to talk about why so many of us aren't just running towards goals or for our health, we are literally running for our lives. And honest to God, it started on day one for me when I thought that physically running from my problems would somehow mute the never-ending stream of doubt and negative self-talk that played in my head on what felt like a loop, like a never-ending loop that drove me insane. And it was horrible. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I felt so lost and down on myself. I was struggling to fight this need to do the most with my life in the time I had, newly made aware of my own mortality, but at the same time, too afraid to try to fail and be what I was told I would never be able to do and support myself doing. And I was just so confused and lost, and I didn't know what the hell to do with my life. And I just didn't know how to take my first steps. Ironically enough, physically putting one foot in front of the other is a great way to figure it out. So I started running, and it was horrible. It was painful, it was impossible, but it wasn't as boring as wasting time at the gym after work and feeling sorry for myself, watching the clock until it was acceptable for me to leave. But when I started running, I honestly didn't intend to become a runner or run a race. I ran because I had literally nothing else to do. I had no friends. I had no hobbies. I mean, I was so overwhelmed with surviving each painful run that I didn't have time to feel sorry for myself. And by the time that I got home from my run, I was so exhausted that I would quickly fall asleep. And honestly, just knowing that this pain meant that I was getting stronger, it resonated with me on another level, and it made me want to keep going. And it gave me something. It gave me something to feel proud of and something to work towards. You know, 1 mile became 2 miles, and 2 miles became 2.5 miles, and then I was back to 2 miles, and then I was at 3 miles, and then I was at 1 mile, and then I wasn't running anymore, and then I was running again, and then I was back to 3 miles, and then I was at 6 miles, and then I was back to 2 miles. But the more I ran, the more I started asking myself, what if I ran a half marathon? And all these miles and finish lines started accumulating, and I felt myself change. I held my head a little higher. I stopped feeling ashamed when someone asked me what I was doing with my life. I could smile and tell them, I ran a half marathon, or I'm about to run a marathon. And boy, did I feel like the humble brag bomb was dropping left and right. And I was telling everyone, I was telling the checkout person at the grocery store. I would like drop it in work emails like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't know if you heard, but I'm training for a marathon. Even it's like that joke. How do you know that someone is a runner? Don't worry, they'll tell you. That was me. I mean, my bad. It wasn't just me. I mean, I think all of us can relate to why that's so funny, because there's something so exhilarating and empowering about admitting that you're doing something that you feel is impossible. And for me, becoming a runner felt impossible. Running a half marathon felt impossible. Running a marathon felt terrifying and impossible. I guess I was still way too afraid to put myself out there and move on with my life. But I was showing myself that just because I wasn't innately good at something, that doesn't mean that that thing isn't worth pursuing. And I was showing myself that with enough work, I can make impossible possible. And that was a turning point for me. I mean, I've learned a lot about myself since I first started running, from like facing my fears and running those first races and distances to like letting myself fail in front of other people. I've come a long way. And honestly, there's something to be said for just running for my life. You know, I think the hardest part about Run, Selfie, Repeat is that running has become my job, despite the fact that I don't really run very well. I'm a sponsored athlete. There, I said it. It feels so weird and wrong. I'm so insecure about that. I think that when I just go through the motions, I sometimes overload myself with content and ideas and doing things, and I stop running for me. I love the days when everything's falling apart and you kind of just want to get in bed, but you think like, you know what, never mind, I'm going to go for a run. And it's just like a beacon of hope. Like you feel like, yes, I know I'm going to feel better after this run. And you go and you can run really hard. Or you can go run really easily and jog and just like look up and be in nature. And it does something for you. It does something for your soul. It's like meditation. I mean, I can't, after my breakups, like the best thing I could do, it's like when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You go for a run because it helps. Or on the days when I'm really struggling with my grief, I mean, I put on my sunglasses and I cry my eyes out and I try to run. I mean, running and crying is like the hardest thing in the whole entire world. So 9 times out of 10, I have to stop to walk, but it helps. Putting one foot in front of the other when you are just sad is life-changing. And that's what I mean by running for my life. You know, today I was running with my friend Caitlin, who is an incredible runner, super fast, super duper duper strong, and a really fun person to run with, because I always walk away just like feeling inspired. She's an amazing person and I love running with her. So today I invited her out to do my tempo run with me because obviously I wanted to run with her before I went back to New York, but also because I knew that she could, you know, hold those tempos pretty easily. I mean, I wasn't worried about me being able to do it. Today I had an 8-minute mile, 2 7-40-minute miles, then a 7-minute mile. So like that 7-minute mile is pretty fast. But I wasn't like, oh, 7-minute mile, like I used to be. Today I was like, yeah, we're doing it. I get to chase Caitlin. Woohoo! So I went into it with a really good attitude, but last night, not just last night, I've been so stressed out this last week with this move. It's going back to New York is really scary. I talk about this all the time. New York is a scary place. It is so overwhelming. But I love it. I mean, it's awful and horrible, but it's wonderful at this. It's New York is like a marathon. It is like training for the world's hardest marathon in the entire universe that in the race day never comes. That's how living in New York is. I love New York, but it's a really, really difficult place to live. And it's a very hard place to do what I do. So I've been stressed out. And last night I was like tossing and turning and freaking out. I had a nightmare that lions ate my parents and my sister. And then I woke up and had that like, oh, where was Scott? Oh, Scott's already dead. Yeah. TMI, I'm sharing too much. Oh God, reel it in. Reel it in, Crowbert. Reel it in. Back to my run. So we took off and we were having a great time. We were talking. We did our 1 mile warm up, and then we started pushing the pace and we were ahead of the pace. We did our first mile. We nailed it. We did our second mile. We nailed it. And then we started doing our third tempo mile. And I started to panic, which is interesting. Today, what was interesting was that this has happened to me before, mid-run panic. But I've never really understood what was happening. I just kind of thought maybe because I was trying to run harder and faster that it was just pain, but it's so much more complicated than pain. And what it is it feels kind of like a mini panic attack. And I've only had 3 panic attacks in my life. One actually sent me to the emergency room and they thought I had a stroke. That's how bad my panic attack was. And then 2 other smaller but equally terrifying panic attacks. And panic attacks are not fun if you've had them. You feel so out of control and so helpless. But during my run, like I could feel myself going, like I couldn't get control of my breath. And it wasn't because I was like exerting too much effort. It was just, I could just feel myself panicking and I knew I was panicking. And I was like, all right, we're panicking right now. That's cool. We'll just, like, Kelly, focus on your form. So I was focusing on my form. And I was still doing it. And I was like, wow, I'm panicking right now. And then just like being made aware that I was panicking, I started to get nauseous. And I started, this is the TMI, I started like dry heaving. And I was like, what is happening to me right now? Why is this happening? And then I felt really embarrassed that Caitlin was there to see this and that I couldn't get a handle on it. And I let that just like throw me for a loop. I think it's hard for me when I'm chasing this impossible goal. It's hard to remember that I'm not going to die if I don't hit my goal. Like, think my world isn't going to end, the entire universe isn't going to come crashing down, but I'm invested. Like, I care a lot. And I really want to do this thing that I set out to do, and I'm trying really hard. But after the run today, when I totally panicked and had those minor freakouts, in our cool down mile, she asked me if I've ever like thought about training for a race just for me and not recording it or like doing it for my blog or in just like running for fun again. And I was like, yes. I keep making this joke that I'm in purgatory, and this, what just happened, kind of reminded me that I'm not running for my life. I'm running for my meal ticket, and this thing that I love that has helped me survive is now what I have to do to pay my student loans, my rent, my health insurance, and so that I can feed myself. And I just feel an immense amount of pressure. And I'm not saying I'm quitting what I'm doing. I'm not going to quit the blog. I'm not going to quit this podcast. I'm not going to quit vlogging. I think it's about a balance. And sometimes we lean one way and we need to get back to that middle. I mean, regardless of what you do, I think it's really easy to put too much pressure on yourself. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but I think acknowledging it is the first step in figuring out what to do next. I mean, as a new runner, I remember I wouldn't tell anyone if I ran a half marathon because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to finish, and I didn't want anyone to like have to see me fail so hard. But today, I'm so gung-ho on running this BQ time. And even though I know that even if in London, like, I don't hit my goal, I'm so proud and astonished and amazed that I've made it this far. But I am still terrified that I'm not gonna BQ. There, I said it. I'm afraid of this weekend doing the New York City half, that I'm not gonna be able to enjoy myself and blow it out of the water and run this amazing time that I want to do and see what I'm capable of. I'm afraid. And that being said, I'm a firm believer that fear isn't a bad thing. I think fear means that you care and that you're really invested. But I think there's a point where stepping outside of your comfort zone and chasing impossible goal kind of takes a little bit too much of a toll. And there may be a point where you realize that running this thing that you may also do to get through the day feels more like a job or a chore than it does your lifeline. Just know that that won't last forever. In order to grow and change, we have to step outside of our comfort zones, and we have to get to that place. It's hard to push ourselves to redefine what we're capable of, and it isn't always fun. But at the end of the day, it's not about how fast or far you can go. I think that's important to remember, and I'm saying that as a reminder to myself. It really is about having the courage to give it your all. You only regret the things that you don't do, right? Regardless of what goal you're chasing, remember that running and getting active isn't a chore, it's a choice. You get to show up and give it your all. Find a mantra that shines brighter than your doubts, and then put a huge smile on your face. For me, a lot of the times it's you're not a quitter. No regrets, no excuses. You really can do anything you put your mind to. You have to walk before you can run, and you have to trip and fall before you can cross the finish line like a boss. Be patient. Be relentless. Don't just run. Run for your life. Now go kick ass and take names. Yeah? Today was a big day. Today was a hard day. The panic really was scary. But if you're enjoying these podcasts, I would really, really appreciate it if you would rate, review, and subscribe to it on iTunes. Or subscribe to it on Google Play, and just tell your friends, spread the word. Your support really does mean a lot to me, so thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.